Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, it's already a week past Valentine's Day. Maybe some people have, you know, their flowers still in their vases at home, and some of those flowers are either dead or on their way to being dead. And we've got some tips, right, on how maybe if you were to receive some cut flowers in the future, how to keep them alive, or maybe even growing your own cut flowers. So before we get to actually growing your own cut flowers, what would people maybe do next time they're on the receiving end of getting some cut flowers?
Yeah, definitely. We're on the cusp here of all the spring holidays. We have Easter and we have Mother's Day, really big flower giving holidays. And the best thing to look at that is to always, when you get a fresh bouquet of flowers, whether that's still wrapped in the plastic or it's already arranged into a vase, is to make sure that water stays clean. So you want to make sure you have a clean vase and then some nice clean water. When you switch out your water, don't think that you have to wait until it's all murky and cloudy. You know, keep that fresh. Every other day or so, clean it out, throw out that water and put some nice warm, coolish to warm water on there. And before you place the flowers back into the vase, you want to give them a nice little cut. It doesn't have to be very much or so, maybe like a half an inch is just perfect to be able to get them to kind of open up that inward plumbing, if you will, to be able to keep that flower stalk hydrated. And then not all cut flowers are created equally. So you'll have some that have a shorter lifespan than others. So feel free to go ahead and take out those dying blooms. And then your arrangement or your bouquet should always be a living thing. So you take that out. It's going to obviously decrease in size, but it's still going to stay pretty. There's nothing worse than going and seeing, you know, beautiful, wonderful, large lilies and flowers, but then some, maybe some other plants just kind of like just hanging out there that are just drying out. So take them out if they're not alive anymore. And then if possible, you know, move that into a different vase. There's also a lot of different flower preservatives that you'll get, and they kind of come like in a little sugar packet with your arrangement. You can go ahead and dissolve that per the directions, and then that'll keep it fresh. That usually has flower food and then some kind of antibacterial properties as well. Also, a few drops of your household bleach, just a few.
Oh, really?
Inside your vase will kind of keep that algae from growing as well. But don't put too much, just a couple of drops will do it. So really nice little tips to kind of extend that shelf life, if you will, because along these times, it's a really great opportunity for the floral industry to make some really nice arrangements for you. There's a lot of different blooms that you can choose from, but I think our jobs at home is to kind of extend that and keep that for as long as possible.
So what flowers have you found that maybe are the first ones to go and the last ones to die? I've usually noticed that roses don't really seem to last very long, and carnations usually have a pretty long shelf life.
Yes, most definitely. And you can also really look at the types of roses or the quality of roses that you get. Some of them don't even open up. They're kind of in that little tight stage, and then they kind of droop over all at once. So that was really not a good quality rose. And some of them really open up really nicely. So they were, you know, picked and shipped and arranged properly in proper conditions to be able to open up to bloom. And yes, definitely carnations are very long lived as well. Some nice filler flowers that live really long are the status. They're little purple. They almost look like little construction paper, little tissue paper type blooms on there as well. But carnations do last a long time. There's also some freesia flowers, snapdragons, that are going to give you more of a upward linear height. Last a really long time as well. So there's a lot to choose from, a lot of different colors and a lot of different styles. There's one really popular one called Alstroemeria. It's one major stalk, but then it has about, you know, 5 to 7 different individual blooms on there. And the blooms are multicolored, but they range from everything from white to almost like a tan beige and pinks and even maroons and all kinds of mixes in there. But that's a really nice little tubular flower to keep, and it's also very long lasting.
And I guess because the flower industry is almost a year-round thing, you're really not going to see maybe a seasonal change between a lot of the cut flowers that are available. You're pretty much going to find your basic, you know, roses or a lot of the types of flowers all year round, even though for certain seasons, you are going to see, maybe like with Easter coming up, you're going to see more
tulips that have been forced to bloom for the Easter season, or, right. you know, for Mother's Day, you're going to see more roses. But okay. as far as for the rest of the year, you're going to pretty much see not really much of a constant change in those types of flowers, right?
Right, exactly. Especially that Easter lily that we see a lot really often during the Easter time with those large lily-like white blooms is really popular. But yes, a lot of our flowers that are in the local nursery or areas available for people are going to come from Central America, but there is a lot of movement for not just slow food, but also locally grown flowers as well. And so you kind of keep your eyes out for those kinds of vendors as well. But there's really one thing that we can start out at home, too, for the do-it-yourselfer gardener.
And so what are some really great cut flowers that we can grow in our own gardens?
Yeah, there's a lot of different great cut flowers that we have. We have a really long growing season in El Paso, and it's really an interesting place to be. And I think look to see what it is that you like. If you gravitate to really sunny type bright colors, then look towards that. There's a lot of great sunflowers that are not just the huge mammoth 6 feet tall that just wouldn't really go well on a tablescape or in a vase, but there's a lot of smaller little petite sunflowers that you can grow from. They do have a really deep root system, so make sure that you give them enough space and you plant those in the ground or in your raised beds. But there's also a lot of other really nice flowers, too, that are in the yellow shades. Calendulas are a really great cut flower. They're also called pot marigolds, and they're sunny, orangey to yellow colors as well. Rudbeckia is the black-eyed Susan. Mm-hmm. Those do really well. They have a long shelf life, and they'll be able to cut several cuts throughout the season as well. And then there's always your standbys with a lot of different types of marigolds and zinnias that you can choose from, either single petals or like the larger dahlia-shaped zinnias that are thicker with a lot more petals that are in there. So there's a lot of interesting flowers that you can choose to have a cut flower garden. It doesn't have to be anything major, but a couple of tips that I think people would really appreciate is to not to try to plant everything all at one time. So stagger your plantings, and then that way you can allow that first area of your zinnias, if you will, to kind of grow out first, and then, a couple of weeks later, then plant some sunflowers, and then kind of go back and forth to whatever mix that you've decided to follow for your cut flower garden, and then that way you can always ensure those continuous blooms. Just like anything in any part of the garden, it's going to take some maintenance, and then you cut those flowers off, or you deadhead them, if you will, you're going to end up with just greenery for a while. So if you want to ensure blooms, you want to make sure that you stagger those plantings.
Well, another, as I said earlier, plant that we usually see maybe around Mother's Day or Valentine's or Easter are tulips. And those tulips are kind of the gift that keeps on giving, right?
Right, exactly. So I definitely always encourage people if they're going to buy flowers, buy something that's, growing in its own roots, in its own container. We saw that a lot for Valentine's Day, the forced tulips in small little plastic containers, and just kind of they're probably barely peeking out at this point. There's a lot of greenery, but you see that main flower stalk coming out to the front, so make sure that you keep that well watered. You want to make sure that once you water it and you get that potting soil nice and wet, then you allow for that water to kind of drain away and don't keep anything in the saucer. You don't want to encourage any kind of rotting of that bulb. And then you want to make sure that you enjoy that flower for the longest time it's available. It does take a couple of weeks to be able to get something really nice from these forced flowers. But once they're set and done, then you're going to start seeing that the flower head dies off, and that's it for the season. So you want to make sure that you kind of leave that greenery around, because those leaves are still photosynthesizing, and in essence, they're putting energy back into the bulb. So just kind of let them continue being green, and they're going to start dying off shortly. And then you want to either plant them in your garden, or better yet, just kind of take them aside and put them away for a while. A nice, cool, ventilated area does really well to kind of preserve the bulbs until you're ready to put them into your garden before the fall.
Maybe like in a paper bag or something, not in a plastic bag. Yeah. Right? You want to suffocate it.
Exactly. So you want that ventilation. So, yes, there's nice little like potato sacks that you can use, burlap sacks, any kind that's going to allow for that air exchange to be able to move. And you want to make sure that you dust off any of that existing soil around there to kind of keep it as clean as possible, because the last thing you want to do is, you know, have them rot out or get a lot of fungus growing on them. So.
Well, I know tulips in particular, we're told that we usually have to chill them. So it probably would be maybe a better idea to put those away until it's time to put them in the refrigerator. Because I guess if you put them into the ground, you're going to get some very nice greenery, but there's no guarantee you're going to get any flower.
Exactly, exactly. And it's also difficult to remember where you place your flowers as well. So the last thing you want to do is, you know, want to dig them up and then, you know, inadvertently take them out with a spade. So definitely get them out and put them in a nice little cool area and just kind of put them away for a while, and they've done their part, and it's okay if, you know, maybe you don't want to save them for next year. Maybe they weren't the color that you liked. It's okay. You can go ahead and compost them and help them break down as well. So, you know, there's a lot of different options to be able to look at that.
And a lot of other bulbs are out there. I was at the store the other day, and right when you walk in, there's already a pretty good variety of bulbs that are available that haven't been forced yet. And so those would be, what, a great time to plant right about now?
Yeah, there's a lot of different bulbs or tubers that are out there as well. Like the dahlias are really great summer-loving plant. They have wonderful, gorgeous blooms in all shades. Definitely look at that. And dahlias like for the soil to be a little bit warmer, so kind of keep an eye on that soil temperature and kind of get them in, and then they'll shoot up and they'll grow. But yeah, they're really great flowers to be able to look at. I've also seen a lot of other different plants as well, like the elephant ear plants are also out there too. And yeah, they come in like little like containers, like where you would find avocados kind of growing, you know that little mesh bag.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of cut flowers, the rose pruning demonstration that we've been talking about for the past few weeks is coming up just around the corner already next week.
Yeah. So we're really excited. The Master Gardeners have worked really long, really hard hours. We had an interesting winter this year. So, you know, to be able to get out there in timely fashion to knock out and to prune those 1,300 rose bushes is a task in itself. But the Master Gardeners are well on track. What they did is they left a section that they haven't pruned yet, and that's for the pruning demonstration for next week. And they'll be out there next Friday and Saturday, 12 to 3 of both days, to be able to answer your questions. They'll also have a lot of different handouts and publications that you can take with them, so that you can kind of spend your time in the rose garden kind of observing and looking and trying some pruning techniques, and then you'll have your paperwork to be able to take back with you and reference in the future. You know, don't worry, the Master Gardeners are not going anywhere. They're continuing to be out at the Rose Garden, and they're out there three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings. And they'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you may have, as well as kind of give you a little guided tour if you'd like, and answer any of those questions. We are seeing a lot of roses kind of come up as well. We are seeing some foliage of one of my favorites, Don Juan rose. It's a really deep, fragrant red burgundy rose, and it almost has like a climber.
Oh, wow.
So it's really, really pretty, and that foliage is starting to red up, if you will. So that new foliage is starting to come out, and it's just like the anticipation of things to come. So come out and visit the Master Gardeners at the Rose Pruning Demonstration, and then March 1st.
The Municipal Rose Garden opens to the public, right?
Yeah.
Right, Rose Day after.
Yeah.
Well, we've had a great show, and you can always ask your questions, gardening questions about cut flowers, about rose pruning. Direct them to the Master Gardener Hotline. That number is 566-1276, 566-1276. We also have an email link to the Master Gardeners on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. We want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.